Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about memory. We've talked for the last 2 weeks on the dangers and the treasures of memory. And today, I want to talk about the fact that gloom is infectious. A Christian has a responsibility to shed love, joy, and peace in the world. And God knows there's little enough of that around. But what if we don't feel good? How are we supposed to shed love, joy, and peace? How? Well, here's where the great lesson of desire versus intention comes in, or emotion versus will. Now, to intend means to plan, to design, to purpose, to turn one's mind toward, or to turn one's energy toward. An intention is an end, an aim, a determination, a purpose, a will to do. So if we are supposed to shed love, joy, and peace in the world, we are going to have to intend to do that, to make up our minds, to design, to purpose, to turn our energies toward that decision. Let me read to you from Romans 14, 13. Make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. I like that. That's blunt, straightforward, perfectly understandable, simple, but not necessarily easy. Make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. In chapter 15 of the same book, Romans, Paul says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's been a favorite verse of mine. I told you a little bit the other day about my dear mom Cunningham, my Canadian mom that I met up in Alberta, Canada, and the one who told me that we were not always ready to be shown what God wants to teach us. And dear Mom Cunningham prayed for me for years and wrote me letters as long as she lived, and I think in every single letter she put this verse, Romans 15, 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I do trust that if in any way my life has overflowed with hope for anybody else, I believe that it would be in part because of those prayers of that dear woman. Now, these are principles of the Word of God. They are not subject to the person, to the circumstances, or to the times. We, instead, are to be subject to the Word. We do make a very big mistake when we subject the Word of God to our circumstances or to our personalities or to our times, making excuses for ourselves and saying, well, these are different times. I'm a different kind of a person. The Bible doesn't deal with this. Yes, it does. The Bible is relevant. And we are instead to put our persons, our personalities, our circumstances, our times under the authority of the Word. Often our desires conflict with our intentions. Which are we going to do? Will we chicken out or flake out and go with our desires, Or will we carry through faithfully and determinedly with our intention, the thing that we made up our minds to do? Another quote from my favorite C.S. Lewis. In all the ordinary difficulties of life, what is the Christian keyword? Often, to some Christians, the keyword is pray to the Lord and he will change your circumstances. But you will not find anything like that in the Scriptures. In the Acts, when the believers came back from one of their encounters with the religious authorities, they did fall to prayer. But what they said was, Lord, look on them and give us boldness to preach the word. They did not pray for a change of circumstances. They prayed for grace to live for Christ in those circumstances. This, beloved, is a derivative of the idea of a sovereign God. He cannot tempt to virtue as we do to vice. He wants us to learn to walk and must therefore take away his hand. And if only the will to walk is really there, he is pleased even with our stumbles. Desire versus intention. And here's another one. From Frances Ridley Havergal, who wrote a great many hymns, but she also wrote some books. This is what she says in one of those books, a vexation arises, and our expressions of impatience hinder others from taking it patiently. Disappointment, ailment, or even weather depresses us, and our look or tone of depression hinders others from maintaining a cheerful and thankful spirit. We say an unkind thing, and another is hindered in learning the holy lesson of charity that thinketh no evil. We say a provoking thing, and our sister or brother is hindered in that day's effort to be meek. How sadly, too, we may hinder without word or act. For wrong feeling is more infectious than wrong doing, especially the various phases of ill temper, gloominess, touchiness, discontent, irritability. Do we not know how catching these are? That's the end of the quote by Frances Ridley Havergal. And I would like to ask you, do we have a right to indulge in gloom and misery and self-pity? As soon as we start thinking about our own rights, beware. Let me remember why I am here on the earth. I'm here to bring God's love, God's joy, God's peace to the world, so that I may, as one in whom Christ lives, glorify him and turn the eyes of others to him rather than to myself. We are meant to be vessels unto honor, instruments of peace for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the Master, and prepared to do any good work. Now, this does take intention. It takes will. And in Lewis's amazing little book called Screwtape Letters, which is a series of letters purportedly from a senior demon to a younger demon teaching him how to tempt Christians. The older demon is saying to the younger one, speaking of God, he cannot tempt to virtue as we do to vice. He wants them to learn to walk and must therefore take away his hand. Now, let me put in a parenthesis here. The older demon, of course, is referring to his patients, as he calls them, the people that he is trying to destroy in order to get them out of God's kingdom and into his own kingdom. So he's regretting the fact that God cannot tempt people to virtue in the same way that the demons can to vice. God wants people to learn to walk and must therefore take away his hand. And if only the will to walk is really there, he is pleased even with their stumbles. Do not be deceived, Wormwood. Wormwood is the younger demon. Our cause is never more in danger than when a human, no longer desiring but still intending to do our enemy's will, looks round upon a universe from which every trace of him seems to have vanished, and asked why he has been forsaken, and still obeys. I had to read that several times because it is powerful. But let me put it in my own words. The cause of Satan, which is to turn people away from God, is never more in danger than when one of us, ordinary men and women, are no longer desiring. In other words, we have no good feelings whatsoever about doing this thing that we know God wants us to do. So we're not really desiring it, but we are still intending to do it. We look around at that moment upon a universe from which it appears that every trace of God has vanished. And we ask, why have you forsaken me, Lord, and still obey? We have intended to do it, although it doesn't feel good. And we do it anyway, even though it looks as though God is gone. Well, the senior devil says, our cause is never more in danger. So let's ask God to purify our wills, clarify our intentions, and strengthen us to carry through in obedience to Him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.